This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Japan's prime minister steps down from office. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a surprise announcement, Yoshihide Suga has said he won't stand for re-election later this year. The news comes as Mr. Suga's approval ratings dropped an all-time low, largely over his handling of the pandemic. Japan, which is still under a state of emergency, is now grappling with its worst ever COVID wave, with more than 1.5 million virus cases. The country has also been slow with the vaccination take-up. Sejiro Takeshita is a professor in the School of Management and Information at the University of Shizuoka.
Big surprise. It was only 2 weeks ago where he had suggested a total reshuffle of the cabinet members. He had the third highest rating amongst all Japanese prime ministers at 73% when he basically became the prime minister. But that's dropped to 29%. And you can see this inverse relationship with a number of COVID-19 cases in Japan. So basically, he has been, well, at least fingered as a person responsible for very late, I would say, action by the Japanese. Our rate of vaccine is still only 44%, the lowest amongst OECD nations, and we're getting the second very big wave of this Delta type.
And with the vaccine take-up and availability, why has that been slower compared to other countries of a similar stature?
Partly because we don't have any pharmaceutical company that produces, at least as we speak, and also due to the fact that Japan was far less damaged by the COVID-19 in comparison to other, you know, OECD nations. Our death rate still is extremely low. So there were, I would say, some hope that, you know, this would simmer down. But obviously, as you can see, that certainly isn't the case.
And how has the economy fared under this prime minister?
There has been a lot of criticism because there's been a lot of postponement, particularly in the service sector, which had been damaged severely. And many people are hoping that there will be a special demand that will be coming in, kicking in from the Olympics and Paralympics. That certainly isn't the case. I would say, you know, it was really bad timing. It's not due to his personal bad management, I think, but, you know, more to do with a very bad timing that he had to deal with these things at this time.
Professor Sejiro Takeshita of the University of Shizuoka, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Japan's main index, the Nikkei, finished higher by just over 2%. And in other market news here in Europe, Germany's primary stock market is about to get a makeover, is expanding to 40 stocks. And China has announced that Beijing will be launching a third stock exchange. In North Korea, leader Kim Jong-un has asked his officials to deal with the urgent issues of food supply, the pandemic and natural disasters. In a speech published in state media, he outlined the huge challenges facing the isolated country. From Seoul, here's the BBC's Laura Bicker.
North Korea's economy has been battered by self-imposed border closures and lockdowns to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Weeks of drought conditions, followed by heavy monsoon rains, have also damaged vital crops, and there are serious concerns about this winter's food supplies. According to state media, Kim Jong-un called for tighter measures to prevent the coronavirus as a matter of paramount importance. He also demanded that the country's labour force be fully mobilised ahead of the harvest. He also ordered more work to be done to prevent flooding and deforestation.
Laura Bicker reporting. Now, the availability of COVID-19 vaccines varies widely from country to country. In recent months, the shortage of vaccines and the challenge of slow rollouts has sparked the trend of vaccine tourism. The US is the only country that has allowed visitors from countries that are not affected by travel restrictions to get vaccinations for free at airports or pharmacies. And this has lured in visitors from around the world. The BBC's Cindy Su, who's usually in Taiwan, spoke to me from San Francisco about the number of Taiwanese travelling to the West Coast to get a jab.
A lot of people did take their fate, their health into their own hands by going to the U.S., coming to the U.S. to get vaccinated, especially during the summer months when, you know, their kids were off school. Entire families came here, some of them, you know, with teenage kids who qualify to get the vaccinations. A large number of people who booked these longer flight itineraries where they would stay in the U.S. for 1 month or a little bit more to get the two-shot vaccines such as Pfizer or Moderna. And some of them also came for the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They would just fly into airports that offer the vaccines such as the San Francisco Airport or LAX, the Los Angeles International Airport. And they would get off the flights and go straight to the medical clinic at the airports to get vaccinated. And some people even, you know, left on the same day. And one of the people I spoke to is Amber Zhou. She's a middle-aged mother, and she felt very strongly about getting vaccinated.
Because I have a daughter, 7 years old, and my parents over 70 years old. So they can get the vaccine. My daughter, she has no vaccine so far. So if I need to protect myself, then I can protect my family. I feel so happy I can come here for the vaccine, even I can get a vacation here.
And that was Amber Cho. So why has Taiwan struggled then to get vaccines to people, do you think?
The government and the people were actually very confident, you know, up until May this year, that their strategy on keeping coronavirus under control was working. I mean, we have to remember last year, Taiwan performed amazingly well. It didn't have any lockdown at all, even though, you know, many places around the world were locking down. Taiwan continued life as pretty much normal. The second wave showed that the strategy of just closing borders and quarantining everyone coming back simply wasn't enough. There were still cases, coming into Taiwan from other countries, including brought here by pilots who had to continue flying cargo flights.
Cindy Su speaking to me earlier. Some news just in: the European Commission and AstraZeneca have ended a legal dispute over deliveries of coronavirus vaccines. The Commission initiated legal action at a time when vaccine supply problems were contributing to a slow rollout across the continent. Well, in London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.